Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's about the thing you fire rescue and emergency management in this morning. We are going to talk about holiday safety and just staying safe over these over the next week or so. Chief Jay Cullen is in, Lieutenant Tom Cornell in from Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you here, Chief. I always talk to you on the phone, so to actually have you here is just... It's just different
That's
this morning.
Right. You get to see I have a true face for radio.
We both do. We all do. Now, it's good to talk about this stuff. You know, and a lot of it is just a reminder, because I'm sure this time of year, Chief, you see the same things or you worry about the same things. I think probably this time of year and 4th of July, to me, are the tough times for you guys.
They're definitely busy. That in the spring when the wind's blowing and people are trying to burn, you know, yard debris and so forth. But we had that phone conversation last month around Thanksgiving, and hopefully everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving, had some great turkey and some food. But a lot of those reminders are still the same. So just trying to make sure that we have folks enjoying the holidays and doing it safely. We want to make sure that everyone enjoys this time.
And that's the thing, Tom, just to be safe and to remember, I guess, especially as we talk about a lot of these things, it's just so common sense, but sometimes things happen and you're around situations and you don't think clearly.
Right. Across the United States and also in the Commonwealth of Virginia, throughout the year, mainly this time of year, because everybody's getting together, everybody's cooking, and you see that more prevalent. In the world we live in today, there's so many distractions that we have. It's a lot of times we'll go put something in the stove or be cooking, and we get distracted and go in the other room. We want to watch the game, or if somebody calls, or the family there and they call you. But unattended cooking is one of the big causes of fires across the country, and this time of year especially. We usually try to tell people that if you're in the kitchen cooking, set timers. Have something go off, let you know it's done. Go back in and check. Or carry a spatula or a wooden spoon or something crazy this, but it does work. Put an oven mitt on your hand. When you walk in the other room and you're getting distracted, you look down and say, why do I got an oven mitt on my hand? That reminds you, go back in the kitchen because you probably have something cooking.
Yeah, don't text and drive, and don't text and fry.
That's a great idea. That really is a good idea.
But during this time of year with the holidays and the Super Bowl coming up, I recall a gentleman was going to fry chicken wings in his kitchen. Got up, heated the oil up, went back inside, started watching the game, forgot all about it. Next thing he knows, his kitchen's on fire. So we just got to get the word out to let people know, pay attention to what they're cooking and what they're doing. Try not to be distracted. If they are going to be distracted, have those reminders in place, let them go back into the kitchen.
Yeah. Boy, that's, again, it's unattended things, and you don't mean for things to happen. Or... Yeah. We talked at Thanksgiving just about in the kitchen to have, you know, make sure the handles are in, so they, you know, if you've got kids running around, and you just try to keep things under control in the kitchen this time of year.
Yeah, you want to make sure your handles are turned in. Try to keep any type of rags or towels or stuff off the front of the stoves and the ovens, because they can drop down. The drawer on the bottom of most ranges, a lot of people use that for storage, but that's usually considered to be a warmer where you can put stuff in that stays warm if you got the oven on. Sometimes, and I've seen this, I actually had calls where that towel that's hanging on the front of the oven door will drop in that drawer and it gets closed, and then when they use the oven next time, that towel can actually catch fire. So be mindful of that too. And don't set things on top of the stove that can also catch fire. Keep everything off the top of the stove. Don't keep towels hanging on it. And keep the handles turned in, just so the kids running through, they don't hit it and get spilled hot liquids on themselves and stuff like that. Just little things you can do to help keep yourself and your family safe.
Wait, in just these first few minutes, I have learned all kinds of things from you guys. I never thought of that, though.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've learned the lessons the hard way in seeing others deal with those challenges. So,
well, in your case, Tom, you investigate a lot of this stuff. So
I do, and being a fire investigator, and I've been with Spotsylvania County for a little over 20 years and been in the fire marshal about half that time. You almost get to the point in your own life where you're almost paranoid because you see all the stuff that happens, like, I shouldn't do that, I shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that. But you do see a lot of things, and some of it's just stuff that cannot be avoided, just accidents do happen, but most of it can be avoided. You know, example, this time of year people's using their wood stoves in their fireplaces. Make sure you clean the wood stoves out and take the ashes when you take them outside. Put them in a metal bucket away from the house, and I always recommend that you spray water in a bucket. Keep it, fill the water up with the ashes. A lot of people just put them in plastic buckets. They think it's cool. The ashes are cool. They're not hot, and they'll just set them on the back deck or porch. And then the next morning, the wind kicks up during the night, stokes those ashes, and starts a fire. So we kind of get the ashes away from the house into a metal bucket and then put water on it. That way they'll stay cool.
Yeah, I would also encourage if you're going to dump those ashes out eventually, because they can stay warm for, I've seen, you know, red coals stay warm for a week and a half. Just the way that it's continued to burn sitting in those ash buckets.
See, I would never think that.
They can stay hot for a long time, and so if you're going to dump them out, I always encourage people to dump them out in like a gravel driveway or something like that, so there's no chance of, you know, whatever, you know, grass or leaves catching on fire. So.
And you can see where people, where you want to do the least thing, especially at night after you, if you empty it out and you, it's cold and you don't want it, but take that extra step.
Absolutely.
That's the problem. I'll just set it out on the deck. And especially if you're in a plastic container, you're just asking for trouble.
Yep.
And along with those train of thought with the fireplace and wood stoves, make sure you have your chimney cleaned out at least once a year. We just had a chimney fire last night, and this time of year it's really prevalent. We're getting colder. People are using those wood stoves and chimneys more. Over time, if you don't use clean, dry wood, oak and hardwoods, and you use pine or wet, stuff like that, the wood's green, it produces a lot of creosote as the smoke goes up the chimney. Basically, just as the particles rise through the chimney, they'll get cold and they'll stick to the sides of the chimney. And over time, the throat of the chimney just gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And then eventually, the heat from the fireplace or wood stove will ignite the creosote, and then you'll have a chimney fire. And call 911, we'll come, we'll assist you with that, we'll put it out. But we always recommend that if that does happen, call somebody to come in to inspect and clean your chimney professionally, because that fire may have damaged it, and if you go to use it again, it could cause more damage to your home.
Yeah, good stuff this morning, Chief. And Chief, you're text and fry. That's one of the great lines of the show this year.
Come up with a bumper sticker or something.
You do. I know you do. That is just. I love that. Quick break. We're going to continue on. Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management in this morning. Chief Cullinan and Lieutenant Cornell here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Lieutenant Tab Cornell and Chief Jay Cullinan in from Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management as we talk about just staying safe over the holidays and beyond. We were in the kitchen a few minutes ago, and grease fires, Tom, I know are sometimes a tough thing, because all of a sudden you're dealing with a grease fire and your first thought is, well, I gotta put water on that, it's a fire. But that's one area that you gotta plan ahead on a lot of these things.
Yeah, usually the first train of thought people have when they come walk in the kitchen, they see the pan on fire, is I gotta get that out of here. So the first thought they have is take it to the sink and let's put it in there, because we know that water puts out fire. Well, grease fires, you do not want to put water on. If you take water and throw it on a grease fire while it's on the stove, all it's going to do is spread it out. It's going to splash and go everywhere. And the next thing you know, now the cabinet countertops are on fire. Then the cabinets are on fire. And you're steadily trying to do that. There are also cases in point where people will try to grab the pan and run to the sink or some other parts of the house.
Yeah.
And as they're running through the house with this pan of hot oil and it's burning, they're dripping it.
Yeah.
So they're starting little mini fires as they're running with this pan.
And as well as burning themselves, because the grease is sloshing around,
it's hot.
And you're carrying this thing that's on fire. My grandmother actually many years ago, had a frying pan catch on fire, and she carried it out of the house and sustained significant burns to her hands. So,
so one of the best methods, if the pan itself is on fire, just put a lid on it. It'll smother it.
Okay.
Put the lid on it. All the fire stays inside the pan. Turn the burner off and just leave it alone and call 911 so we can come in to make sure there's no extension anywhere. Or if the fire flares up again, we're already en route or we're going to be there if it does. So just put a lid on the pan and let it go. Don't take it off. Don't look at it. Just leave it there and call 911 and we'll come out and check it. If it does get outside the pan, you can use other means of putting it out. They have these now. They have fire, what they call a small fire blanket. It's just made for range tops. You can get those.
I've seen those. Do those work?
They do. You just lay it right on top, and it smothers the whole top of the stove out.
Yep, they're made of fiberglass, I guess.
They are, yep.
I've seen them, but because you see them on social media, and you've wondered, does that really work? Because it does look like it's something you should have in your kitchen.
It works very well, actually, and it cuts down on loss of life, loss of property. You get your kitchen back sooner. You know, these little things you can do. The main thing is try not to leave cooking unattended. Stay with it. And again, if it does catch fire, you can use flour or something like that. Don't use an extinguisher, though, even though it has a powdered chemical agent in it. But when the accelerant, it comes out so fast, it's just going to push and blow it everywhere, and you don't want that. You want to keep it contained.
Yeah. You really want to use something like baking soda. That's going to be more of it's a mineral-based kind of deal.
Yeah.
Because the flour, just kind of mentioning that, if there is a bulk amount of flour, we'll put it out. But if there's any cloud, the dust, you can have the same thing as a silo explosion. So that fine dust can become very flammable. So I would avoid flour, but definitely something like baking soda.
Okay. And a lot of these things, you know where they are, too. I mean, it's kind of a plan ahead kind of thing, and you know where they are in a cabinet so you can quickly grab them.
One of the things we tell people when we go out and we speak to the public quite often throughout the year, is if they are cooking, have the lid just standing nearby, sitting on the counter beside it, whatever fits that pan. Just have it sitting there just so you can go right
just
to it.
Just in case.
It'll save so much trouble, so much damage, and also so you don't get hurt either. Just have it nearby and ready to use it, whether you need it or not. It's just there.
Okay. Speaking of planning, one other thing. We talked about ovens a little bit. Most ovens now have that self-cleaning mode, but I would encourage everyone to make sure they go through and do a rough cleaning of their oven first by hand before using that, because a lot of times what we see is there's debris in the oven from whatever, boiled over or whatever, and it will end up catching on fire, and generally it will be contained to that oven, but it is going to smoke up your house. So to avoid that headache of having to deal with that, do a rough cleaning by hand first before you actually use that self-cleaning mode of the oven.
That's a good thing to know, because you're right. Because and a lot of times you'll look at that and just say, I don't need to clean that. Right. This is what the self cleaning is for.
it's essentially an incinerator, is what it
becomes.
And it can spread beyond the oven. Again, most of the time it's contained within that firebox, but it can. But it will definitely smoke up your house, because we multiple times a month we'll go out for an appliance fire and someone just used the self-cleaning mode, and we need to help them get all the smoke out of their house.
Yeah, that's good to know. Now, how important is it to have a fire extinguisher in the kitchen and a working one?
Actually, it's very important, because if, let's say, the cooking fire you have, the oil fire, has went beyond that pan or that stovetop, and now your cabinets are on fire or the trash can's on fire, you can use that extinguisher, which we always say use an ABC extinguisher. It's multiple uses. Use that on the fire if it gets beyond that pan or anything, because it can put it out. Also stress the fact that if you use that whole extinguisher and the fire does not go out, then you need to leave. If you have an extinguisher and the fire is growing to a point and you don't feel comfortable fighting the fire, leave. Don't even try to fight it. Only fight it the fire if you feel comfortable using an extinguisher. If you're trained to use it, if you know how to use it, and you're comfortable using it, then go ahead and try it. But if the fire gets to the point where it's overwhelming, just get out. and call 911. We'll come put the fire out for you.
And stay out.
Get out and stay out.
Well, that's an interesting, of all the times I've talked to people about that, we've never talked about that particular thing of when to, especially in this case, if it's a kitchen fire, mm-hmm. of when to decide I shouldn't stay.
Yeah. Fires usually, on average, will double in size every 30 seconds, thereabouts. And usually an extinguisher may last 30 seconds to a minute. So, like I said, once that extinguisher's exhausted all of its powder and the fire is still growing, then you need to get out.
Yeah.
Always have an escape plan, too. Don't let the fire get between you and your exit. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you look where you're at and the fire hadn't got behind you before you even start fighting the fire. Make sure you have an escape route. Make sure the fire stays in front of you. And again, if it doesn't go out, use an extinguisher, get out.
Boy, and just the fact that the statistics that you just gave about how quickly fire can spread, you got to be aware of that. That this is you've got to make some quick decisions if you're not getting it under control.
Yeah, absolutely, a lot of the products in the home today are going to be a lot of plastics, polyurethanes, vinyls, foam fabrics, stuff like that, which actually catch and spread fire fast. That's why years ago everything was man-made fabrics, cotton, wood, stuff like that. Fire didn't spread as fast in those homes. Today, the way the way it's structured with the vinyl siding and stuff like that, fire spreads a lot faster. And if you can't fight the fire or you feel uncomfortable, then get out and stay out.
Mm. How long is a fire extinguisher good for? When do they start losing some of their, should you check them, periodically like you do your smoke detector?
Once a month you should look at your extinguisher to make sure the hose is in good shape, it's not dry rotted. Look at the gauge and make sure it's in the green. If it's overcharged or undercharged, replace it or get somebody to look at it. Make sure the safety pin is in it still with the little zip tie, not a zip tie, but it's a little safety strap that holds it in so you don't lose it. And that's just so you can carry it around, don't accidentally discharge it. You should have your extinguisher checked annually or by a company. Once in a while, I would say once a month when you check it, take it and turn it upside down and shake it a little bit, because over time the powder will compact it and you'll go to use it and it may not work.
Okay.
So make sure you loosen the powder up a little bit too when you're doing your checks, monthly checks.
And just knowing how to use it, I guess, too, is another thing. I don't think I've ever used a fire extinguisher. We've got one, but I don't know that I've ever used it. So, I mean, it's probably at least to look at it and do a run through.
They're fairly simple, and thankfully, all of them have kind of instructions on the side of them, and it follows the acronym of PASS: pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep.
Okay.
So it's pull the pin, squeeze the actual trigger mechanism.
Yeah.
And then sweep back and forth on the fire until it goes out, or until the agent is completely out of the extinguisher.
And I know there's different sizes. Is there, how many fire extinguishers should I have in my house? I know that I've got one in the kitchen, and I know it's fairly small.
Usually, it's the one you keep that you have in the kitchen is usually what we call like the tennis ball can,
those
small size like that. Usually it's maybe mounted under the kitchen sink
or somewhere
exactly
close.
Out of the way, you can't see it, but you know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually fine, because if that doesn't put out what you have, then obviously you need the fire department there to finish it up. I know out in the public, in businesses, it's a 2A10BC extinguisher. They're a little bit bigger, and they're readily available in the public areas. And with the extinguisher, like Chief said, the instructions on how to use it are right there on the extinguisher. So I would tell everybody, before you need to use the extinguisher, if you see one, just read the instructions on it.
Familiarize yourself with it.
Yeah.
I would also say it would be a good idea to have not only the extinguisher in the kitchen, if you have another floor of your house, make sure there's one on each floor, just so you don't have to run up and down stairs to try to retrieve it. And then also, if you have a garage, have one readily available in the garage.
I'm learning all kinds of stuff from you guys today. Things that I had never, because I don't have one downstairs. I have one in the kitchen.
Think about the time that it actually would take you to run up the stairs to retrieve it and come back down.
Yeah.
It really, from the time a fire starts, you really, these days you've got about 90 seconds to either get the fire out or to escape the structure. So it can that time can be eaten up pretty quickly moving through the house to try to go retrieve something like that.
One of the two things, and if you don't, and especially if you're a Spotsylvania resident, you should friend the Fire and Rescue Facebook page, because a lot of good stuff. The two things every month that I'm always reminded of are check your fire, the smoke detector, and to close your doors at night. Those are the two things that you emphasize a lot.
Yeah,
just for fire safety.
Smoke alarms have been proven to save lives. And we've seen it here in Spotsylvania, actually, where we've installed smoke detectors and have had incidents that families have been notified about those fires and been alerted and have been able to get out. So making sure that you're checking your smoke detectors or smoke alarms on a regular basis. You know, the verbiage of smoke detector, smoke alarm, but we call them smoke alarms.
Right.
And making sure we're checking those on a regular basis. But then the close your door is something that has kind of been added to our statements over the past several years. Mm-hmm. A lot of additional research through Underwriters Labs and through some other, through NIST, really have identified the value of having those doors closed and being able to starve the fires of oxygen. So it's really, really important to make sure that when you go to bed at night, you close your bedroom door. Also, if you happen to have a fire in your home and you or when you leave your house, make sure you close your front door behind you, because that will, again, starve that fire of oxygen and buy us a little bit of time until we can get there and help put it out.
Mm. Good stuff. Chief Jay Cullinan and Lieutenant Tom Cornell with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning as we talk about fire safety with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. One of the things, and I can't remember, I meant to look this up and I forgot. Chief, you've got a title as far as, you know, you're involved with an organization.
Actually several, but so probably one you're referring to is I'm the president of the Southeastern Association of Fire Chiefs, which represents all the states and the Southeast, as well as the territories of Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. We're a division of the International Association of Fire Chiefs. And it really is an organization that just fosters communication, education, and professional development of fire chiefs and fire departments throughout the Southeast to make sure that we're sharing information and keeping up to date with the most recent developments in science and best ways we can protect our communities.
Which that's a great thing for you to be involved in, and I'm sure you've brought a lot of things back to Spotsylvania because of that.
Absolutely. So I learned something from every single meeting or conference I go to, and I'm also able to share the great things that we've been able to do in Spotsylvania, and other communities have been able to benefit from that.
Well, just us talking this morning, and we'll do much more of this in the new year, of being able to talk about these things. And I think, and Tom, you mentioned just you do this a lot of time. You go out and speak to community groups just for people to hear a lot of these kinds of things. Because I, this morning, have come up with a number of things that I think I've got to, you know, tighten this kind of thing up at home. To hear things and think them through makes us all a little bit safer.
Yeah, especially this time of year during the holidays. Touch a little bit on holiday safety, because we're in that time of year. You know, when you're decorating your tree, check your lights out. Make sure there's no bare spots or snags or anything missing or broken or anything like that. Also, make sure that it's a UL-listed light string you get, because these days you can buy anything from anywhere. It may not be pre-tested.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure it's a UL-listed or other listing type of lights before you put on a tree. Check the lights out, too, prior to putting on a tree, because obviously it's easier to find a bulb when it's just a string laying there than on a tree going through the whole tree. And if you're going to be using, you know, a lot of people's been went to the artificial trees that are pre-lit, which makes it nicer and easier. But some people like the traditional Christmas, and they do a traditional Christmas tree, a live Christmas tree. If you get a live Christmas tree, prior to bringing it in the house and putting it in water or the Christmas tree stand, cut the couple inches off the bottom. Because what that does, when you first cut down a tree, the sap forms almost like a scab for the tree. It protects mm-hmm. and heals it. Well, if you put that into the tree stand and you put water in it, it's not going to absorb the water.
Right.
So you always cut a couple inches off to allow that water to be absorbed. Put it in a tree stand, put water in it, keep water in it. There's a few videos out there that can show you a live tree without water and with water on how fast it can ignite. I'm sure we've all seen those videos. So make sure you keep it watered.
Yeah, everyone asks their wives what happened when they get flowers. They always cut the bottom of the stems off before they put them in water.
Yeah.
Same kind of concept.
Same thing.
Same
concept.
Want them to live longer. So.
Yeah, you want that tree. And when you're out looking at the trees, you see one that you like. Take one of the limbs and needle and bend it a little bit. If it snaps and breaks off, it's too dry. Mm-hmm. Get one that's flexible and bendable. It's green, has no brown patches on it like that. And then when you take it home, again, cut it off, put it in there, and put it where you want. And then check the lights and all that. Make sure you're using UL-listed lights. Most lights nowadays, if you buy a new, are going to be LED. There's no heat that doesn't put off, but incandescent, the old-fashioned lights. They do put off some heat, so just make sure you keep your tree watered.
And I guess this time of year, too, as we once we pass Christmas, and keep trying, you know, keep it watered, but see if it's starting to drop needles, or don't keep it too long.
Or absolutely, you can if you keep the tree too long, you don't water it. As time goes on, you go up and give it a little shake, and all the needles will just start falling off. That's a good sign. You need to get rid of the tree. Get it out of the house. There is stories where people have left a tree in too long. Up too long, and they got the lights on, the lights short out, it catches fire. And a tree fire is fast, it goes up quick, and it puts off enough radiant heat that anything around it is going to catch that on fire too, and the fire spreads tremendously. It puts off a lot of toxic smoke, and then the furniture starts catching fire, that puts off toxic smoke. So you want to make sure you stay on this and get rid of the tree. Even once it starts drying out, even if you're watering it, it's going to dry out eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So if it starts drying out, needles are dropping, just get rid of it.
Speaking of radiant heat, something to think about. You know, we've already seen several cold snaps and bouts of winter weather this year. So, you know, people are going to be using heating devices and so forth to make sure that they're staying warm. And it's important to make sure that we're placing our tree away from our heating sources, definitely away from open flames and fireplaces and so forth, but making sure we're keeping it a significant distance away from any heating sources. And that really, even after the tree is gone, making sure that we're keeping anything that is combustible, you know, whether it's papers, blankets, whatever, keeping those at least 3 feet away from any of our heating devices, space heaters or whatever you're using. And keeping those, you know, 3 feet away from furniture and so forth, so we don't end up having fires started by those as well.
Yeah, there's a term that used to give space heaters a little space.
Yeah.
Always follow manufacturer recommendations and their instructions on how to use the heater properly. Don't use extension cords for your space heaters. Make sure they plug directly into a wall outlet. What happens there, you have an extension cord plugged into it. It produces resistive heating as the current is being pulled to the heater. And the cords can fail, and that can also start a fire. And like the chief said, make sure you give them plenty of space. If you don't have the manufacturer instructions or recommendations on what to do, 3 foot is a good rule of thumb all the way around the heater, because some heaters put heat off all the way around, some may not. But if you don't know, give 3 foot all the way around the heater and make sure you don't have anything combustible there.
Speaking of those cords,
several
times where you know, people will put little rugs or whatever over top of them to keep from tripping over those cords. Those cords are meant to be, they're designed to be uncovered so that they can dissipate the heat, and they're kept underneath those carpets. We've seen several times where those cords have actually heated up or rubbed to the point where they have shorted out and caused fires underneath those carpets.
Yeah. Well, and also then you mentioned just extension cords and sockets, and be careful of just, you know, overloading a circuit.
Yeah. Most appliances you want to plug directly into a wall outlet. Don't use an extension cord. A lot of small things, like if you're charging a phone or something that doesn't pull a lot of power, is okay to use a cord once in a while, or a power tool or something like that. But majority, make sure your space heater, usually the space heaters come with a 6 to 8 foot cord, which is plenty to plug into a wall and get it to where you need to be. But never, don't use an extension cord. The resistive heating, it builds up, and then it can have it can fail. And when electrical arc happens, it usually is about 38,000 degrees, electrical arc, when it first pops, which is close to the temperature of the surface of the sun. So anything that's going to be around that, that's combustible, could ignite. So just make sure you keep your cores uncovered, don't use them inappropriately, and make sure everything, heaters and such like that, plug directly into outlets.
One of the things I've heard of and have heard this year is when you have, we always talk about having escape plans. If you're having company for the holidays, talk to your company about it. It's not the greatest thing to talk about, you know, hey, welcome to our house. But
here's how you get out.
Yeah. But to give everybody, hey, this is if something were to happen.
Yeah, as well as if you're going to visit someone else. Making sure that you're familiar with those unfamiliar surroundings. So when I go to a hotel or something, I always make sure that I'm finding the stairwells. I know, how many doors, that might be too extreme with me, but I count how many doors there are from my room to the stairwell, just so I know where I am if the hallway's filled with smoke. That just comes from seeing things happen over the years.
Yeah.
But absolutely, making sure that you're sharing that information with your family or loved ones that are coming over, just making sure they know their primary escape route and a secondary, even if it's just a brief discussion of, hey, just that window's unlocked or whatever, just to know how to get out.
Yeah, and if you do have an extinguishers in the house, let them know where those are as well, just in case they need to use it.
Yeah, yeah, and have a place to meet. I know that helps you. And you've mentioned a couple of times, if you call the fire department and you leave, stay out.
Absolutely. Yeah, let us go inside and actually, fight the fire, rescue your pets, rescue your loved ones or whatever. If you can point us when we get there to where the fire was located or where someone may be, we will certainly take that information. I will also take this as an opportunity to kind of share about one of the systems that we use to share information about homes, is our Community Connect system. That, if you remember the old Tot Finder stickers.
Right, yeah.
So we've got a Community Connect program that allows homeowners to create, and business owners to create a profile and put in information about their, whether it's their place of business or whether it's their home, about where certain hazards may be, where people may sleep or may be found, if there's people with disabilities, where your pets are, what your door codes are. All that allows us to have that information and be more aware of your home or business as we're responding to a call for help. So a lot of the things that you would want to share with us when we arrive on scene, you can put it in there, and we can already be aware of it on the way there.
What a great thing. The way technology is today, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so it comes up automatically as soon as we're dispatched to a location. We get information on that residence or on that business. So anything that the property owner or occupant can put in there that will help us in our achieving our job, it'll allow us to do it faster and safer.
Boy, it has to help the firefighters on the way to know that, hey, this is what we're looking for.
It's a big help.
Yeah. Which again, and then that brings up just making sure that your house is numbered, and you can quickly, because boy, some of these neighborhoods are dark.
If we can't find you, we can't come help you.
Yeah, yeah, and whatever you can do to make it quicker to get you to get there.
Definitely.
One of the things, this goes back to when we were talking about Christmas trees. I come in early in the morning and I see a lot of houses in the dark where trees are lit, and you're hoping that those are artificial trees, but even then, I don't know, you know, leaving a lot of lights on inside overnight, even if it's is probably not always the best thing.
Yeah, if no one's going to be awake to actually enjoy them, I would suggest turning them off. We've seen a lot of things throughout our careers that cause us to you know, have things in front of mind a little bit more than most folks, but whenever we leave the house, whenever we go to bed, always make sure that our lights are turned off, you know, the Christmas tree is unplugged and so forth.
Yeah.
There's really no value of having them lit up if everyone's going to be asleep and can't enjoy them anyway, and may be able to save a buck or two on your electric bill as well.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I used to always say, oh, I like to get up in the morning and have the tree on. But then as I looked at it and just thought, why have that? Like you say, nobody sees it. If I want to see it in the morning, just get up and plug it in. Yeah. That's all I got to do. And again, that just goes back, again, Tom, to what we talked about at the beginning when we talked about the kitchen, unattended things. It's unattended, and just do all the things you can to keep you and your house and your family safe.
Right. Speaking of unattended burning items, a lot of times people have fire pits in their backyards, on their decks. First and foremost, always follow the manufacturer recommendation instructions on where to use these things.
Yeah.
Some you can put it on your deck. Some you probably shouldn't have anywhere near your house. We have some guidelines in the state code and local ordinances that tells you how far things should be. It depends on what you're using. But make sure that you're away from any combustibles, you're away from the house, and you're with it the whole time. Because it doesn't take, even, you know, we'll have people in the fall, they're burning leaves and stuff like that. And they could have the best intentions ever, and they'll go in the house for a minute to get a drink or talk to somebody. They get distracted, as we talked about earlier, and the wind kicks up, and they may think the fire's out, and they come back outside, and now the whole yard's on fire and the woods are on fire, and it's racing towards their home or their neighbor's home. Same way with fire pits. I had a call a couple years ago where they had a fire pit on the deck. They was there with it, watching it. Once they got done, they took the fire pit and dumped the ashes over the deck rail into the yard, thinking that was okay.
Right.
Well, it was fall. The leaves burnt. The deck burnt. It started burning up the back of the house and got into the attic. They're inside watching television, didn't know the attic was on fire, because there's nothing to tell you, because all the smoke alarms are down below the attic on the ceiling. Luckily, a passerby knocked on the door and said, hey, your roof's on fire. You might want to get out. And then that's what let them know the house was on fire, and they got out, and they called 911.
Boy, that's scary.
But it doesn't take long. It just goes right up the side and into the soffit, into the attic. And again, they're sitting there watching TV and had no idea about it.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about, you know, fireplace ashes and pit ashes and so forth. Sometimes the ashes that we don't pay enough attention to are those smoking materials. And while I would say in general that a lot less people smoke these days than in the past, but I will say that, you know, at least every couple months, it seems like we have a house fire because someone did not dispose of their smoking materials correctly. You know, it may be they're, you know, putting it in a planted pot or something. That seems to be one all the time.
Yes.
Planted pot, and they dump it in there, and then all of a sudden it catches on fire, catches the siding on fire, and so forth. So
a lot of people will throw their cigarettes into the mulch, which isn't dirt. It's wood product, and it's laying there, and it's dry. And that will make the fire spread and get up into the house as well. And like the chief said, a lot of times people come out, and they have a flower pot on their front porch. They'll smoke. They'll put it in a flower pot, and then they'll leave. And the debris, leaves, dried leaves, and mulch material in the flower pot will ignite. And then a lot of times it's next to the house. It gets to the side, and it catches the house on fire. Improperly disposed smoke material, I would say, is up there next, almost close to unattended cooking on how fires start.
Yeah.
Just improperly disposing of the smoking material. And I've seen have a big bowl or something on your back deck, and it's just full of cigarette butts spilling over. And that's just a lot of combustible paper there that you're going to just put more heat on, and it could, you know, ignite that.
Yep, go right out. Yep.
You need to dispose that stuff correctly.
Good stuff. Tom Cornell and Chief Jay Cullen in here from Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 W.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Before we get out of here this morning with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management, one of the things Lieutenant Tom Cornell with the Prevention Division that we haven't talked about is candles this time of year. Sure, they scare you.
They do on some aspects. Candles are used pretty much throughout the year, not just, you know, this time of year. Just make sure when you're using a candle, it's got a solid base. It's secure. You don't want to. And I'll give you an example of a call I had. They had a candle sitting on a table, and they had the window open a little bit, and a curtain kept blowing over on the candle. And then eventually it blew around the candle, which caught the curtain on fire and went like that. So you want to make sure you use it in a safe area. Make sure you stay with it. If you leave, blow the candle out. Don't leave candles lit.
Yeah.
The unattended, again, the unattended theme. A lot of people's gotten away from candles. They go to the warmers and stuff like that, which right. are a little bit safer. But anytime there's an open flame as a candle or something like that, you want to be wary of it. Stay with it. Don't leave it unattended. And make sure it's not around anything combustible.
And definitely get them from a reputable source. I can remember years ago, there was a fad to have gel candles.
Yeah.
And a lot of they would liquefy so fast, you basically had this puddle of flammable liquid there mm-hmm. with the flame that would then actually ignite. So making sure that you're – thankfully, those have been recalled and aren't in the market anymore. But just make sure you get them from a reputable source.
Well, I know with the holidays and all the extra things there, and as we've talked about, just with colder weather and with winter months, just – walk through your house, I guess, and look for any potential things. And if you have questions, I know you're always tell me.
Give us a call.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We're happy to either answer questions over the phone, or if there's a specific thing that you need assistance on to ask us a question about this specific item in your home, we're happy to come out and make house calls.
I know. I've heard people when you've done that have said, you can do that, and they walked through, they were so helpful.
Yeah, rather do it on a day that you're not experiencing an emergency, so hopefully we can prevent that, because we don't, we're happy to be there for you when you're experiencing that tragedy. We want to be there to help, but we would rather meet you on a good day and prevent that tragedy from ever happening.
Well, Chief Jay Cullen and Lieutenant Tom Cornell, thank you both so much. And thank you for all you do. You keep my house and family safe, but especially this time of year. And
it is our pleasure.
Thank you.
And this has been great information and a lot of things that we don't always think about. And as you have said over and over, Tom, don't leave things unattended this mm-hmm. time of year. Any time of year, but especially whether it's candles or whether it's the ash from fireplaces and
cooking
all that kind of thing. Thank you both so much. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Good stuff with Spotsylvania Fire Rescue and Emergency Management. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.